Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, my day!
Hey, my day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get
BB!
We get BB!
We get BB!
Boom!
BB!
Boom!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning, producing, engineering, contributing, loaded program today. Nebraska is off to Music City. Little Nashville, little Johnny Cash, little Waylon. If you're into the newer acts, good for you. We will have a tour guide of Jay Moore with his time as a Titan in late night barbecue. We are putting that together.
Plenty of it.
We'd like to put it together.
And good bars.
Yes.
Great bars. Cold beer, good country music. You like the country music. But they have a good rock scene, too.
Yes.
Like, don't get it confused that it's all honky-tonk. Uh-uh. A lot of good bands. I mean, Kings of Leon, great, phenomenal, one of my favorite bands. They're Nashville people.
There's just, I think everyone, when they make it's a Nashville person, either Hollywood or Nashville. And we'll see if Nebraska makes it a changing narrative 2016. Happy with 9-3. You get an SEC team. Butch is a freak show, okay, at Tennessee. And that team, wow, they finished 2-2 in their last four. Kind of a train wreck year for them. A lot of parallels between Nebraska and Tennessee, so we'll dive into the Nebraska matchup against the Vols. Michael Brunt's with us in 20 minutes. Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride will join us. And then Steve Calhoun, friend of the show, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy. Of course, he tutored Patrick O'Brien, Cam Newton. You know some of the names he's worked with. Well, he's also been recruited by one Dante Williams, new secondary coach for Nebraska. That announcement coming down at 3 o'clock today. You've heard the name. You knew it was going to happen. Well, official release from Nebraska and Coach Mike Riley. They filled the opening on the Nebraska football coaching staff. Dante Williams, formerly of Arizona, is now an assistant coach in Nebraska. 34 years old. He's recruited just a slew of California talent between San Jose State and his time at Arizona. Is in on a third of Arizona's top 20 class. And, yes, is in on some exclusive names, Darnay Holmes, Joseph Lewis, Greg Johnson. Guys thinking about Nebraska anyway. Guys thinking about Arizona because of Dante Williams. So you put the two and two together, and Nebraska adds a really, from what I've seen video-wise, really good teacher, great communicator, but a dude that is straight up from L.A., gets L.A., and can tell kids it is okay to leave L.A. And check out this place that worships football named Nebraska. The other parts of this thing here, you're going to have, this will be the fallout defensively. Banker will go to being more of a walk-around defensive coordinator, CEO type. Stewie will go to safety work. And then you have Williams working with corners. That's how it looks right now. Bert, I know you're more of a substance guy with recruiting. It is lifeblood. It is future. It is hype. Yeah. It also is hope. But if all things hit on the same cylinder, it could be big time here 2 to 3 years down the road for Nebraska. This hire is about getting some of those Jimmies and Joes.
Oh, yeah.
Additional ammo, so to speak, for Nebraska. What's your thoughts on this? What do you think of Riley? We knew that Reed was going to be gone. Not until it happened could we kind of believe it because of their relationship. But Riley's doubling down on wanting to double his efforts with recruiting talent on the Nebraska coaching roster. Now he's got one of the best, one of the top 15, according to Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, it's – well – I'm one of the guys that, you know, I don't get caught up in the recruiting. I know, trust me, it is very, 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 very important. But I just being a part of it, I just seen a lot of good talent that they were supposed to be the next Joe Montana or Bosworth or Bo Jackson, whoever it might be, and they fizz out because they enjoy the recruiting experiences more than they actually like playing football itself or the hard work. So, but listen, don't get me wrong. You have to, any more. It's like you have to have a guy that obviously understands X's and O's, but it's almost like, you know what, if you're trying to have that pie, like how much pie do you want of him being a phenomenal recruiter? You know, is it 60-40? Is it 70-30? Is it 50-50?
I think you got to go 70. We can't go 70. But you got to be 50-50. You got to be as good a recruiter.
55-45?
You got to be as good a recruiter as you can be. You got to be able to coach and talk and teach, obviously. Mm-hmm. But
I think John Blake was like 70-30. Well, I think Blake was a good coach, but he was that much better a recruiter. But I'd say I'd maybe put him in at 65-35, actually.
Okay. But that 65 made up for his 35.
Well, correct. Exactly. It all evens out because if you get great talent, you know, you can.
You look like an awesome
coach.
Well,
you can tell them to do some pretty bad things, but the talent kind of makes up for it sometimes. But when the level of talent, it's to get them in, I tell you what I really got excited about was seeing Coach Perella with a 5-star D-line guy down in Louisiana. That's the stuff that gets me excited when you start seeing 5-star, you know, O-lineman, D-lineman. That's when those are important ones. That's when Nebraska can really start to make waves. But listen, anytime you get guys who are you want to talk about the Joseph Lewis, the Darnay Holmes. I don't think Greg Johnson, that was committed to Arizona.
Opened his commitment.
Correct. The number one athlete. I don't think he's 5-star. I believe he's 4.
He's a 4-star athlete, and you'd find a spot for him.
Exactly. But that's
sure. We have room for you.
But that's. I tell you what. Those guys can. Those can be difference makers. You look at Michigan. All right. You the struggles they had. Excuse me. They get a guy like Jabril Preppers.
Shifted him.
I mean, obviously the mentality that Harbaugh brings in, you still got to win up front, but you have that guy that you can literally play all three phases and can be a difference maker. I mean, you still got to get the blocking, you still got to get the tackling and the protection, everything like that. But that's a guy that you can build offenses, you can build defenses around with guys like that. Darnay Holmes can be one of those guys. Joseph Lewis could be one of those guys, a receiver. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's important. I hate the
hype.
I hate the hype, man. I do because, well, to a point, it becomes unfair to the kids.
Oh, you're walking
because
in.
Because the expectations levels are so unrealistic.
You're walking in with expectations that you're going to be the next.
And it's hard.
Grant Wistrom, Johnny Rogers, Jason Peter.
Well, there's so much. And it's just hard, man, because you get.
Well, you tell me. You're a 4-star guy. Did you even feel that?
Or no.
Did you block it out? Or
I didn't get. Well, recruiting things were so. The
infancy when you came out.
Yeah, I mean, there was no social media. There was no Twitter. There was no Facebook. I mean, you literally had magazines and you had newspapers back in 2002. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the message boards things were even going yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I sound like a freaking dinosaur talking right now. I was pretty patient the whole day. I was learning a new position. I never put my hand on the ground before playing defensive end. So I knew I was going to redshirt the first year. And it took me 2 years to learn a position. It did. Maybe if I had played tight end, I probably would have played a little sooner because it's more natural playing a running back in high school, catching the ball, a little more natural for me. But I decided to do this, and I had to commit to it and stick with it. So I felt zero pressure at all. But I know some kids, but it's just different now because people have immediate access via Twitter, via Facebook, via Instagram, at someone, it can, you know, has a bad game, you know, oh, those 5-stars, you know, what the hell.
It gets personal.
Right, and it's unfortunate, but it's crazy, but that's, hey, it's a multi-million dollar business. And
you were part of the last squad that had a top 10 class ranking, mm-hmm. And I think that was 05, when you get Marlon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You had Harrison, you had Purify as a JUCO, mm-hmm. Brandon Jackson was a little 3-star from Mississippi that was awesome. Mm-hmm. So did you ever just get into it? Maybe it didn't come up, but getting kids from the West Coast, and it's not foreign. I mean, Nebraska's done a great job historically of getting California talent. Mm-hmm. And that's been Ron Brown, that's been Coach Darlington, that's been a number of guys that have just rocked it, and Coach Osborne, obviously, I'm going back a ways, but Nebraska's just been tremendous. When they've got California kids, they've been big time. There's obviously some misses around there, but for the most part, they hit. These guys were all conference or all American. Mm-hmm. They were game changers, similar to some of these California names we're talking about that can come in and help change a program. Unfair pressure, but that's the expectation. when you think back to Mo, or you think back to Marlon, and who was the offensive guard that had the toe issues with New Orleans? He was a JUCO kid.
Oh, Carl Nix.
Nix was a California kid.
He came from San Francisco.
Right.
He's in college. Yep.
Yeah, he's a San, you know, same with Mo. He's a San Francisco community college guy. Did they bat an eye about moving to Nebraska? Or is it more about
the
relationship? Because that's the hurdle now. You got guys like Keith Williams. Mm-hmm. You got guys like Mike Riley. You have Langsdorf.
Right.
You have a slew of dudes that are California, and they're locked in, but kind of one of their own now.
Right.
A California own is on staff now with Dante Williams. It can kind of soothe those reservations about moving this way.
Well, it's always tricky because when these kids come in, you know, you're coming in during the summer. Coaches generally aren't allowed to be around that much during workouts. But I remember
it's a little better now. But yeah,
right. It's going back to the 05-06. You know, you're just. I mean, you rarely saw your coaches during the summer. It was always you were with the strength staff in the morning. You went to class in the afternoon. Then you went home. And you never saw you might have a cookout every month or so, but you never saw your position. You just couldn't. You couldn't have meetings. It's just the way it worked. Then you had guys like, I remember Mo Purify came in. The first time he came in, and they did 7-on-7 for a workout. And you knew that guy got immediate respect because he was going out there in Mawson, our number one defense, our DBs, like going up, and Zach Taylor's just chucking up, and he's just going up. We're like, okay, yes, glad he's on our team. This is awesome. You know, and then,
but that hurdle of getting the California kid here.
But I don't. I mean, it just depends. I mean, it helps. I think having that guy like Keith, and from all sounds, a guy like Dante Williams, where they can and then they can relate to that. I mean, that's huge. But to me, that's just half the battle. You have to gain that respect though with your players. But when you come in and you can show that talent, that immediate that gains. That's the biggest thing. You know, you come in and you prove it. You don't have to talk it. I mean, you come in and prove it. That's how you gain immediate respect to your teammates. I mean, Carl Nix came in. I mean, you knew the dude was 6'5", you know, 340. And you're like, this guy can move. You see how athletic it was, you know, dancing in the locker room and things like that. You knew the guy was a freak. So, yeah, sweet. I'm glad he's on our team. You know, you the guys that can come in there, put in the work, stay quiet. But, you know, you can tell. Guys know, like, oh, this dude's for real, like – yeah, you're one of us now.
It's a shot of energy in the locker room.
Yeah,
You've got more players, better players, talented players, maybe not better players, but talented players on the perception view that can come in and help win ball games.
Absolutely. That's the biggest key. But then you have some guys who come in who you get all this hype, but because as players, you know who's coming in, who's who, and you see them and you're like, this dude was 4-star. This dude was the number one player out of so-and-so. This dude, like, there's a lot of guys that come in that were, you know, supposed to be this offense, and you're just like, what? They can't even make it up and down the field once without puking. Like, what have you been doing the last month? Like, you immediately know, because especially when they tap out workouts in the summer when it's, you know, it's like 100% humidity at 7 o'clock in the morning and you're out there running and they're tapping out, like, immediately, you know, this guy ain't got it. It ain't going to work. And it's frustrating because you're like, dang, this guy was supposed to help out. You know, you're looking for this guy, but it's a very fine line. It's a very, very fine line. But those guys that can come in and prove it right away and gain that respect from everyone else, ooh, it's fun to see.
The three-headed monster attacking California is nice. It's Dante Williams now, who's one of theirs, Californian. It's Coach Dub, and it's Coach Stewart. And then a sprinkling of Banker, and then of course on the offensive side, it's Langsdorf, it's Riley, and then it's you know the Calabrasca Keyshawn crew.
Speaking
too.
Of that, did you see the house that they visited last night with?
I saw on
Keyshawn
social media.
Whose house was that?
That might have been Keyshawn's, I think.
I was thinking so. I mean, good lord.
No, it's pretty nice. I know real estate's expensive.
Pretty nice.
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's not a Schmidt pad, but
it's like a that house in Calabasas in L.A. It's a. I don't even want to know what the price tag is on that SOB.
No, I don't either. I mean, I can go house sit. But
it
I'd
has
kinda,
to be Keyshawn,
I'd kind of
right?
be like Eddie Murphy. Remember but, Beverly Hills Cop 2 where he showed up, he's in the pool, family's gone, it's Miller
Perfect.
Time, get out of here. Yeah, I'd be floating in the back of the pool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm just house sitting. Really, it works. The dynamic part of recruiting, and we'll hear this in an hour from Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy. I'm anxious to be taken inside the living room when Dante Williams is sitting across the table from you. There's a coffee table, maybe there's a bowl of fruit, iced tea, coffee, water, and you're being recruited by Dante Williams. Mm-hmm. None of us here have had that experience. Well, Coach Calhoun has been a part of it with Coach Williams when Coach Calhoun's son was being recruited by Dante Williams. We'll hear that story. And Coach Calhoun and Coach Williams pretty close through that process. Obviously, recruiting your son, you get to know someone really, really well. And this was when Coach Dante Williams was at San Jose State. So that will be with us in an hour. We'll get that perspective from Steve Calhoun. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Coach with us in a little less than an hour. Michael Bruns will get us the rundown on visits this past weekend and upcoming visits, plus Brunsie's thoughts on the hiring of Dante Williams. I want to remind you about safe driving and demand your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related, many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. Off and running on a Monday. Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning on the way. Your chance at the holiday Hail Mary this hour, next hour. And don't forget, you'll qualify for that Schrock Innovations Windows 10 tablet, Jet Splash car wash certificate, and the car starter from Auto Sounds. Michael Bruns on the way.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Welcome in Michael Bruns, 24/7 Sports at Michael Bruns on Twitter. Brunsie, how you doing?
Doing well, Schmidt. How are you doing?
Doing okay. Kind of an exciting weekend. Holiday season's here. Nebraska on their wish list. A high-profile coach that can teach and recruit. And Dante Williams officially part of the staff as an assistant. Before we get into to visits last weekend by the Nebraska staff and upcoming visits, let's get your takeaway on Dante Williams. And you guys, 24/7, been on top of what's going on with the pursuit side of this thing. Now it's a reality. What did Nebraska get?
Yeah, I mean, Nebraska went looking for a guy that can, you know, really recruit, and that's what they got in Dante Williams. I mean, he's a young, energetic recruiter who, you know, you look at the guys that are kind of have the reputation of recruiting the Los Angeles area and the West Coast well, and Dante Williams is right up near the top of the list. When he was at San Jose State, was there a recruiting coordinator, was really built a lot of relationships in L.A., and then when he went to Arizona last January, really kind of capitalized on those. A lot of names that are familiar to people that follow Nebraska recruiting are also tied to Dante Williams, one being Greg Johnson, the athlete out of Augustus Hawkins, the number one athlete in the country, according to 24/7 Sports, was committed to Arizona in large part because of Dante Williams. He actually reopened his recruitment last night, maybe not completely as a result of the news, but that's definitely a big part of it. Joseph Lewis, the five-star wide receiver, also very close with Williams as well. So that kind of tells you the caliber of athlete he's able to recruit out of the Los Angeles area, an area that's really important to Mike Riley and his staff. And then, you know, in addition to, you know, what he's done on the recruiting trail, a well thought of defensive backs coach as well. So, you know, when you kind of look at, you know, Mike Riley wanting to be aggressive with recruiting, he went out, he targeted his guy, you know, really made a pretty competitive offer, basically doubling Dante Williams' salary at Arizona. So, that kind of tells you what they think of him, what he brings to the table. So, I mean, it really is a fantastic hire for Nebraska, and one that, you know, when it was announced a bit ago, was already, you know, definitely on the radars of people who cover recruiting as a power move for Nebraska.
How's this work now, in your theory, with him trading hats? He's, you know, the Wildcat lid to a Nebraska lid. keeping those same connections because of Arizona's class that is ranked ahead of Nebraska's at this point. He's in on 9 of their 27 or 26 commits, isn't he? I mean, can he the transition will be there. It's the same dude, the same guy that the recruits really liked, but now it's Nebraska he's representing. How does that work if you're on the Arizona side of the fence?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're Arizona, you're probably pretty pissed off. I mean, like you said, you know, Dante Wuns is responsible for basically a third of Arizona's class. Most of their, you know, highly rated guys were guys that Dante recruited. So, you know, it is always kind of interesting, I think, when you do have coaches switching jobs and how well that kind of translates to, you know, is the kid all of a sudden going to start looking at Nebraska more closely? I think in a lot of situations, the relationship is strong enough, the kid's going to at least look. In the case of guys like Greg Johnson, Joseph Lewis, who have already visited Nebraska, who are already considering Nebraska very strongly, all of a sudden when you've got this guy who was, you know, one of the big reasons why they were either A, looking at Arizona or considering Arizona in the case of Lewis, and now he's at Nebraska. I mean, I think that only strengthens the Huskers' standing with those guys. So, you know, it doesn't mean that everybody that's, you know, suddenly, you know, at Arizona is going to suddenly commit to Nebraska, but I think definitely with his connections in Los Angeles, the guys that he's recruiting, I think it can definitely allow Nebraska to finish this class off really strong.
Because of Dante Williams' respect level with the high schools in the Los Angeles area, I mean, guys will listen to him, won't they, when he says it's okay to leave L.A.? Because that's the biggest hurdle. You got a bunch of dudes that are really talented that are probably intrigued by Nebraska or some other programs, but it's too easy to just go six blocks away and check out SC. A guy like Williams can kind of put Nebraska potentially over the top with his L.A. ties and connections to get guys out of the L.A. region. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of the challenge that Nebraska has, you know, whether it's California, Florida, Texas, or wherever. It's, you know, there's a lot of times, a lot of schools that kids are going to have to fly over and drive by in order to get to Nebraska. And kind of getting them to make that decision is, you know, part of the challenge. And with a guy like Williams, a guy like Keith Williams as well, I mean, those guys went elsewhere outside of the areas where they were from. They've excelled, and I think that's kind of, I think you're right. It's kind of part of the recruiting pitch, just kind of painting this reality of how things could be in a place like Nebraska that's far away from home. You know, the weather is not going to be as good as for the guys from Southern California, but he can sell opportunity. He can sell everything that Nebraska has, the fan support that a lot of schools in Southern California don't have. So I think, you know, there probably will be a little bit of an adjustment period because, you know, that distance is significant from L.A. to California. But from everything I've been told about Dante Williams' ability as a recruiter, it doesn't sound like anything that's going to keep him from reeling in top talent.
Michael Bruns, 24/7 Sports, @ Michael Bruns on Twitter. Brunsy, what's left for Nebraska home visit-wise this week?
Yeah, Nebraska didn't actually host any official visitors this past weekend. They opted to stay out on the road, do some key in-home visits, just to kind of rehash, I guess, the last couple of days of where they've been. On Saturday, Mike Riley, Mike Cavanaugh, Danny Langsdorf were all in-home with Foster Searle up in Tacoma, Washington. Searle, five-star offensive tackle, number one player in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. A guy that has or a kid that has a relationship with Nebraska dating back to when his coaching staff was at Oregon State. So that kind of tells you the relationship they have. That was a big visit. And Nebraska is going up against Stanford, Washington, schools on the West Coast that they're really going to need to kind of lean, I think, on that relationship to you know, kind of be there for Searle at the end. I think they will be. When he, you know, makes his final decision among Stanford and Washington and Nebraska. But, you know, that was a big one. And I think Nebraska really did a pretty nice job of planning that out. The coaching staff was pretty active down in Southern California as well with Keith Williams was at the Calabasas game, at the Augustus Hawkins game, Danny Langsdorf, Brian Stewart, just a really big presence in Southern California. Mike Riley, after the visit in Washington, went down to Southern California, met with Keyshawn Johnson Jr. and Tristan Jebbio last night. So that's kind of where they're at right now, is trying to get in for in-homes with guys who are going to be early enrollees, guys that they want to try to get on campus. One example being Chuck Filiaga, the four-star tackle down in Texas. He's got an open visit weekend for this weekend. Nebraska would like to get him on campus as well. And then, you know, getting around to commits as well. That's kind of the other key part right now for Nebraska, is not only, you know, getting the guys that are uncommitted, but also making sure that you're continuing to recruit the guys that are already big pieces of your class.
Got Gavin Holmes and Joseph Lewis, Greg Johnson, guys that you've mentioned so far. Nebraska, will they have a chance to see some of those guys this week as well if they're out west? And then kind of take me further here. What's this weekend look like when it comes to the kids visiting?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the big one for Nebraska. You mentioned Holmes. He's going to be making an official visit this weekend. Isaac Slade Matuatia, I believe is how you say his last name, from Hawaii, the outside linebacker. He's going to be visiting Nebraska this weekend as well. Off the top of my head, I'm trying to think who else is going to be in this weekend. Names are escaping me. They're hoping to get Filiaga in. He's kind of planned to do that, but it was kind of based on what his high school playoff schedule is going to be on Friday night now, so I would expect that Nebraska is going to try to lock that down this week as well. And you know, it, like you said, you've got guys like Joseph Lewis, Johnson on the West Coast, especially now that Williams is in the fold and will be able to start recruiting for Nebraska. Those in-home visits are going to be big. Another guy to kind of keep an eye on is Elijah Blades, four-star cornerback, currently committed to Florida in the L.A. area. Williams is another guy that he's real close with. So I could see Nebraska trying to maybe get an official visit there after the dead period in January. So that's kind of where things are at right now. I wouldn't be surprised to see a few other visitors pop up in the next couple of days here, but as Nebraska takes advantage of its final official visit weekend before they have to take time off to start preparing for the bowl game and all the stuff that comes with that during the dead period.
Bruncey, about 30 seconds here. Do you like the bowl draw for Nebraska with Tennessee?
It's an interesting matchup. You know, Tennessee has really struggled defensively down the stretch. I mean, it's a name opponent, which is always kind of fun. You know, you've got the history going back to the 90s of when these two teams played and the early aughts. It'll be interesting for Nebraska because Tennessee's got some athletes. They got playmakers all over the place on offense. They can put up points. They've got Dobbs at quarterback, who is one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC. So it's going to be a tough matchup. It's essentially a home game for Tennessee, so that's something else that Nebraska's going to have to overcome. But it's an opportunity to finish out the season strong, beat a name opponent, and get some momentum going into the final recruiting push. But, you know, it wasn't going to be Tampa, I mean, but, you know, getting Tennessee in Nashville, not a bad fallback either.
Bruncey, 40 seconds, Nebraska-Creighton. How does this end well for Nebraska Wednesday?
Nebraska's going to have to play well offensively. You know, Creighton's a team that can push the tempo. They score a lot of points. They've got athletes all over the floor. You know, Nebraska's a defensive-minded team first, and they've been kind of struggling with offensive identity, which that's not a good recipe against a team like Creighton. So Nebraska's definitely going to have to keep pace and also keep pace offensively and play strong defensively, because Creighton's going to score points, and Nebraska's going to really need to dig in and be mentally tough against a darn good Creighton team that's going to be coming into Lincoln on Wednesday.
Were you sweating against Jacksonville?
No, not too much. It's
they'd blow it.
Yeah, you kind of figured that they had that shot in their bag. It was a good bounce back after the double doink against Kansas City.
That's a well-timed and well-phrased game title. I like that. Michael Bruns, 24/7 Sports, at Michael Bruns on Twitter. Bruncey, we'll catch up next week. Thanks for a few minutes, bud.
No problem, Shmini. We'll talk to you then.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. About 25 minutes away, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. Coming up, Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy. Really close with new Nebraska assistant coach Dante Williams. Know each other really well, so we'll get the lowdown on the newest coach Williams. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. We've spent most of the last 40 minutes getting into the new hire for Nebraska and the recruiting fallout that you think can happen when you bring on a guy that's such a good recruiter in Coach Williams. We'll shift a bit here to Nebraska, Tennessee. And the more the week went on last week, the more you heard, not so fast about the Outback. Now, I love the Bloomin' Onions. But in all seriousness, there is a lot of me that's excited for this opportunity. You've had about a decade plus, but way more than that. But it seemed like you're playing Tennessee every other year in the bowl games. So you've had a nice break from Tennessee. Now you get Tennessee back. Butch is a guy that has made his reputation on recruiting classes, and he needs to kind of live up to some of that talent. That talent needs to translate on the field. And Tennessee's been that it program the last 2-3 years, and they finished strong. They crushed Northwestern a year ago. They smoked Iowa 2 years ago. And now they get a quasi-home game in Nashville against Nebraska. Birdland's talked Nebraska, the matchup, and what this bowl game means. And it's really all about that M word, that momentum word, because if you're Nebraska, listen, Iowa still hurts. Ohio State kind of broke your heart as far as you're just not there.
Right.
And then Wisconsin did their thing. So you're at 9-3 with a chance to get 10. Then there's Tennessee. I mean, they lost two of their last four. They're allowing just a slew of points. They got a senior quarterback themselves in Dobbs. That's pretty talented and athletic, but he's also kind of a turnover machine if he's not careful with it. Their top running back said, screw it, I'm out of here halfway through the year. And when they want to, they've got some heat and some ballers off the edge. So Tennessee, on paper, has an incredible amount of talent, athleticism, speed. And they are your poster children for underachievement in 2016 based on this talent, based on how their schedule started. Mm-hmm. They were 5-0, ranked 9th in the country. Nebraska was 7-0, ranked 7th in the country. So there's so many parallels here between these two teams. But when you look at Butch Jones, and a win for him is like, well, you beat Nebraska in your own backyard. You need to do it. What the hell are you doing losing to South Carolina and Vanderbilt with a chance to go to the Sugar Bowl? Meanwhile, if you're Mike Riley in Nebraska, you want to close strong in recruiting, yes, but also this is a chance to kind of hit reset and change that conversation, change what's the lasting impression in your mind as a Nebraska fan, which is 40-10. So this is ultimately huge for Nebraska. It's a great place to go play a bowl game, a fun town. I think there'll be a lot of red there. I think a lot of Nebraska fans will go check this out just because it's new, it's different, and it seems like I can throw a brick down the street here in Nebraska and find a few people that have been to Nashville and regularly go to Nashville to have a good old time.
Yeah. Well, I know, I mean, just the few months I was with Tennis, the Titans, lived in Nashville for March, May,
boots?
You know, 3.5 months. I did not. I don't own a pair of cowboy boots. Never
That's
have.
Okay, I'm not judging. I'm just asking.
Just clarifying.
When in Rome.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was Romans. Clarifying. Nashville's phenomenal. I loved it. If you're hesitant about all going down there, don't be. It's one of the funnest times a person can have. I mean, it's in a way, it's like Vegas. You can find something fun to do, like on a Tuesday night. I mean, all those bars down in Music Row downtown, I mean, Tootsie's, the stage, all these, the barbecue joints, the restaurants. It's just a good spot. And it's not, you know, it has a very Nebraska feel to it. It's just good people down there, too. A lot of good people that like to have a good time, like to drink some cold beer, you know, and have...
Meet your new best friends.
Right, and listen to some good music. You don't never know. You might be at Tootsie's, you might be at the stage. And like Toby Keith or someone just might roll in and just start playing. Or someone, you know, I'm not the biggest country music fan, but I've heard numerous stories where you're just sitting down there having a few cold beers and there's live music everywhere. and they'll just stroll in and decide to play a set, you know, an acoustic set, and just have fun, you know. And it's just, that's the type of place. It's just fun. I mean, it could, the weather can be hit or miss. It could honestly be 75 degrees or it could be 35 degrees. That's just the chance. But it's an excellent opportunity. Listen, I wanted to go to the Outback Bowl. I really did. Because Nebraska's never played in an Outback Bowl
before.
It's
January 2nd, yeah. Kind of a showcase opportunity.
Correct. But you know what? This is the bed you made, and you gotta live with it. And you know, if you'd beaten Iowa or not got embarrassed really by Iowa, you're probably still there. But this is a great bowl game, man. Tennessee is an interesting, this is an interesting team.
What's this mean? I mean, do you wrap your arms around the kind of redemption type attitude with this, or is it just has it shown up on your radar yet with what's a win going to mean?
Yeah, it's really interesting.
You got to end it positively,
right?
Because
well, it's like last year,
yes,
what,
last
I mean,
year.
It kind of feels similar. Like, what does this mean? We're 5-7. We eked our way into this bowl game.
But think how good people felt after
totally.
The bowl win,
right?
Going into recruiting, you had a great outlook on 16. It wasn't doom and gloom. Now, there's kind of some doom and gloom going on.
It's the M word. It's anytime when you have a chance to win a football game, that M word, that momentum, that's a chance to seize that and take it into the offseason, take it into winter conditioning, take it into signing day. It just makes everyone feel better. It does. My junior year, we finished year strong. We beat Colorado. We beat Michigan, who people thought we had no way of beating. And we beat them in the Alamo Bowl, and it just turned into a better offseason of recruiting, gave you momentum going into the 06 year that we played pretty damn well, in my opinion, and should have been better. But then you lose to Auburn in the Cotton Bowl in a close one, and you kind of,
you're left wanting more.
Right, exactly. Just you always, any chance you have an opportunity, man. And this is, you know what? See where you're at. I mean, you don't get to play a whole lot of opportunities. I mean, with SEC, I know we've had the Georgias and the South Carolinas, but it's been, a couple years since we've faced an SEC opponent. And as a team that was favored to win the East, obviously didn't do it. But you know what? This is a team that's had top 10 recruiting classes the last few years with Butch Jones. See where we're at. So it's just a good measuring stick. I mean, they played well their last two bowl games. Mike Riley's known for playing well in bowl games. So it all comes down to it. It's just, December 30th on a Friday at 2:30 in the afternoon. I mean, it's a different time slot. It's a different date. It's just, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
See where you're at. This goes for both programs. See where you're at. Are you so in a rut right now that Tennessee, you with all this talent, this loaded talent in your home state for a bowl game can't beat Nebraska, who finished third in the Big Ten West? Conversely, are you Nebraska? Are you going to let what happened against Iowa and the Ohio State beating define your season after you go +4 win-loss record-wise from last year to this year? Again, it's all about momentum and kind of get people back on that side of the aisle where there's excitement. And that's what this bowl game can do. Fun atmosphere, really good opponent. And again, you got to kind of put up again if you're the Big Ten. You've been patted on the head all year long about how good your conference is. Well, if there's a slew of really important and big-time bowl games, you need to show up in. You don't have to win them all, but you can't get destroyed in them either.
Showcase yourself.
Show it for sure. We'll wind down hour one.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
10 minutes away, Blackshirt Charlie. We'll call him Santa Charlie this month. Coach Charlie McBride, Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, TJ Henning. Hope you're doing all right. Thanks to Michael Bruns, Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy. One of those quarterback gurus. His son was recruited heavily by Dante Williams. We'll get that side of the living room from a coach whose son was recruited by Nebraska's newest assistant coach. That next hour, please stay tuned for that. Find your way to Sauter Heyman. Instant discounts for you. That's what Rick's doing for you this holiday season. He's offering instant discounts and giving away free trips. Talking Cancun, we're talking Vegas with a qualifying purchase through December 31st. So get that sweetie of yours the gift she really wants. Get a free trip while you're at it. And when only the best will do, Sauter Heyman brings it to you time after time after time. See stores for details. Lincoln, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion in South Lincoln, out west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. Go see Santa Rick. Okay, should we do some more holiday giving? Qualifying?
Clark?
It was an ugly tree anyway. That's what I said. I had the mother of all meltdowns last week while you were working.
I saw your Twitter.
Jesus. Is the reason for mm-hmm. the season. I mean that. But, yeah. We're getting a real tree. It's a brilliant idea. Why don't you put it outside with you? Okay. Holiday Hail Mary. Qualify this hour. We'll take one next hour, too. Giveaway the 16th. Caller 6 now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. The Holiday Hail Mary, what are you going to win when you qualify? A Schrock Innovations Window 10 tablet valued at $499, a Jet Splash Car Wash Certificate, $100 value, and that remote car starter installed from Auto Sounds of Lincoln, $449. Details on ESPN1480.com. Caller 6 now. Get in on the 800 line, 1-800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Caller 8 right now. TJ will take caller. I said 8. Slap me. Caller 6. 6. Siete. Caller 6. Qualifies. There, I'm done. Okay, caller 6. You know the word we need to use?
Mm-hmm.
Not just momentum for Nebraska-Tennessee, but a win over an SEC team that was pretty well hyped kind of validates progress.
Right.
Agree?
Oh, totally. It's an opportunity. It's, really, it's a platform.
Right now you're, high five me. You beat right. Northwestern and Minnesota.
Right.
You get Tennessee in Tennessee, mm-hmm. it kind of shows...
Clout.
A little bit, and little it just shows cred. It shows progress, it shows cred, it shows validation.
I want to see physicality. That's what I want to see.
Don't you think that's how you get them?
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, they're so skilled and athletic, but do they like getting punched in the face?
Right. I want to see physicality. This is zero excuse. You've had the time off. Guys get rested up. Tommy should be fine, in my opinion. But go out and punch someone. Like, get after him a little bit, you know? Now, enough of this finesse BS, you know? It doesn't that gets you, it's like horseshoes, you know? You know, almost and close enough.
Okay.
You know? We need some results, and physicality gets that for you.
Go play some physical football. Coach McBride will tell you a time about playing physical football at Tennessee where they said, call the dogs off. Coach McBride next.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Heading. This out from Brian Christopherson. Dante Williams will make $400,000 year one at Nebraska, $425,000 beginning in 2018. Momentarily, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. And no one likes being distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied with financial concerns, Emeritus can help put you back in focus. Emeritus proud to bring you Charlie McBride. And Emeritus helping your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. 130 years and counting, giving you peace of mind. Emeritus proud to stand with the Huskers. Proud to bring you Charlie McBride. Coach, you have your Santa hat on. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm just sitting here packing, and you know what that's like? Moving is so much fun.
You sound very thrilled by that prospect.
I am. Overly.
Well, at least it's not going to be 22 degrees in your neck of the woods this week.
Well, no, we actually are moving back to Michigan and then just come out here in the winter to visit.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll live back there most of the time.
Okay, so that whole 22-degree thing's out the window. let's talk a little bit here first about Nebraska's new hire, Coach. He's Dante Williams. He was at the University of Arizona. You're down in Arizona. You're an Arizona State guy, but you keep your eyes on the Cats, of course. And this guy will be an asset as a teacher in the secondary, but he's going to be one of those guys that can go out and recruit, and then close on those big-time recruits. What have you known or heard about Dante Williams, and what's your reaction?
Well, I've seen Arizona play a couple of times, and, you know, they weren't very good. They just lost quarterbacks and offensive linemen. It was a mess down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went to their third back, but they've always been a good team as far as effort. You know, they beat ASU up here pretty good at the end of the year, and, you know, I've always respected them defensively when I've watched them more than offensively. This year they had a back that they moved from wide receiver to running back, and he took over the whole deal. I mean, he was something else. But, you know, overall I think, you know, that they got a good deal. I mean, you know, I just think of one thing, and that's when I first went to Nebraska, Coach Osborne called me in the office and he said, well, I want you to know this. Number one, you're a recruiter, and number two, you're a football coach. And so I think that's one of the big things. Anytime you hire a person like that, you know, you want to really look at his background as far as the recruiting efforts go. There's no question that you know, his ability to teach has been pretty good. I mean, I've never seen anything that I would say their secondary down at Arizona wasn't good, because they did a lot of good things, and they've over the years have had some really good defenses.
Coach, looking at it, when you're looking at that perfect coach in college football nowadays, that you had that pie chart, what percentage of it would you need to be a really good recruiter, and what would the rest of that percentage look like for being a good football coach? Would you ideally want it 50-50, or would you want it weighed one way or the other?
Well, I don't even know if I do that. I want them to be, you know, you want both is what you want. And you know, you say 50-50, that's it. But I think if you're a good recruiter, you're probably a good football coach. You know, you just have to work, you know, you have to, it's a effort job. It's a job that doesn't end at 5 o'clock. It ends in the second Wednesday in February, I think it is. And, but you know, I think that really you can't just hire somebody because they're a recruiter. I mean, you're asking for problems. I mean, I think one thing is you have a whole year with these young kids, and you got to be able to teach. And I think that's one of the biggest things is what kind of a teacher is he? I mean, you know, they say about coaching, and sometimes there's some guys that really know the position, really know how to coach it, teach it, and maybe they're not as good as the next guy in X's and O's. But if you're a good recruiter and you know how to teach the position, then that's where, you know, that's where I'd be headed. A lot of times guys are really good coaches, and they just fail recruiting wise, just because of their personality. I've known guys that have been coaches that their head coaches didn't even let them go on the road. So, you know, but they kept them back doing with the winter program and doing that kind of stuff. And but they weren't on the road because they knew they weren't great coaches, but they were great teachers. And in fact, my old line coach from Colorado when I was playing out there is a guy named Buck Meister, who's an All-American at Michigan State. He was one of those kind of guys that stayed in, ran the winter program and stayed off the road. And you know, so there's all kinds of different ways you look at it, but you know, you can always look at 50-50. But I'll tell you what, you got to play on Saturday. And you never want to forget that, so you have to just combine the two of them. And you never want to hire a guy that's not a good recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it kind of goes, like you said, if you had a pie, you'd probably say 50-50.
Charlie McBride with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, got to ask you about the bowl matchup for Nebraska. Do you, whenever you hear Rocky Top, do you just kind of smile to yourself?
Yeah, I like to just knock the snot out of them.
Well, you did. Two of the last 3 years, they poured Gatorade on you that final one.
Yeah, well, they did more than that. I mean, there's something. They're really enthusiastic. I've been down there, you know, and in fact, it was a kind of an interesting story. I went down there, I think, twice. Third time I was going down there. Twice as a defensive coach going down there to work with their defense. And the last time when we beat them, Philip Fulmer asked me to come down and ask him how we broke down their team, you know, and what were the things they thought were the hardest things to protect, to play against. And so I went down there with that purpose, and it was kind of interesting in that before, but I went through the whole scouting report. But before the game, that spring, I was down there, and I left it. They said, here, take the defensive notebook and go ahead. You can take anything you want out of it, read it over, and there's some things in there you might like. Well, then when we played them, he came and apologized to me for, you know, that happened, and I told him, forget it. Don't worry about it. That, you know, how do you know? You got a whole notebook full of defenses. You're going to practice against all of them. It'll never happen. So it really isn't that big a deal that they had it, and we won. But, you know, you can't go through that and start guessing. You know, you can go through it and see what we're doing the most of. But, you know, I don't know if that tells you a whole lot. You just second-guess yourself a million miles away, you know, when you get into that stuff.
Charlie McBride with us on Hale Varsity Radio. What's this bowl game mean, in your opinion, for Nebraska?
Well, I think it put them off on a good year coming back last year when they won. I mean, that was really – I think they're important. I think two things are, I think you get a chance to rework with the players coming back and the younger players, and you got a lot of time, a little bit of time left, you know, to do those things, which if you didn't go to a bowl, you wouldn't have. And I think now that they're getting so many of them, I think everybody's kind of that way. But it does give you a chance to look at your younger players, your red-shirted freshmen, and things like that to see where they're going to fit in. It's just a good teaching at the time to have of the year. It's almost like having a preseason camp to get ready for a team. And I always love that part of it because it always makes the other guys that have been sitting around all year feel comfortable, feel like they're part of something more. And, you know, especially the guys that don't play much as seniors, it's just a reward for them. And I really did appreciate that part of it. I know at the end of the year, you know, we gave out black shirts, but we actually gave black shirts to every kid that was a senior. During the bowl time, we gave them black shirts too. And, you know, it was, you know, I didn't know how important that was going to be, but it really meant a lot to them.
George Charlie McBride, a few minutes with us here, Hale Varsity Radio. What's that like? What's that like as a coach and a teacher and kind of a parent for these guys as you're handing out those black shirts to them and guys that have put 5 years into the program?
Well, I tell you what, I had guys when we handed them out, I had guys that cried. And some guys, you know, maybe only had 20 snaps in 5 years. Maybe, you know, and things like that. But those guys were, you know, they were full-blown, you know, their blood was pretty red. And it meant an awful lot to them just to be on the team and be part of something. But when you gave them the black shirt as a senior, you know, I think that really did something. And we kind of fit the kickers in on that too. I know they work both ways, but, they were part of it. And I think that helped with, and it wasn't just something that was just, oh, hand them out. It really meant a lot to them. And like I said, until we did it, I didn't realize how much it did mean to them. And, you know, that's one way you find out what a person feels like being a black shirt.
Coach, I want to end here on this Tennessee connection because you won the championship with Coach Osborne's last game against Manning in Tennessee, and then you finished number 2 in the country against Tennessee and that 2000 Fiesta Bowl, the 99 season, was incredible. How was it, and I'm sure it was bittersweet, but you had guys like Mike Brown, Ralph Brown, that 99 defense, Vanden Bosch, those guys, Steve Warren, guys you love that love you. How was that final game going into it? How did you approach it?
Well, I kept my mouth shut about it until Mike Brown hit Mike, and I think he told Ralph. But what they did was I was going to announce my retirement on Monday after the game. I thought, you know, I had talked it over and with a couple of people, and they thought that would be the best thing because I didn't want the game to be something, you know, like, you know, that how it gets, but. What happened was, I think Mike had told, nobody said much, and finally it got out, and I talked to the players before the game, but the thing that happened there was the outcoming after the game, because nobody outside the team knew, and Mike Brown went down for his interview after the game, and he said, well, it was really great that I got to play, you know, when Coach McBride had his last game, and all of a sudden all these people in the press, you know, had gone, mm-hmm. most of them. But they had the Omaha station was still there, so they made me come down there and, you know, kind of talk about it. But that saved me the Monday. You know what I mean? I just have to go through all that stuff. But, you know, playing with those guys, especially at the end when you knew, you know, that you did mean something to them. I think that's probably one of the biggest things that, you know, a lot of kids, sometimes you don't know where they're coming from exactly, but to know what they said and how they felt about, you know, the fact that I had stayed with them. And the Browns thought I was going to retire at the beginning of the year. In fact, Mike came in and said at the end of the last year, he thought I was going to retire in 98. And he asked if I'd stay. And I didn't know if I would or not, but then I ended up telling them I would. So it was the right thing to do, and maybe had one of the best defenses we had.
You guys had 8 defensive touchdowns that year. You had great defense that year in 1999. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, we will catch up with you next week, and if you need any help packing, let Jay or I know, and we'll be down.
Okay, well, if you can get out here by tomorrow, it'd really help.
Okay,
sure. Done deal.
Load the truck on Saturday.
We're on our way.
Okay, guys. Thanks, Coach. Thanks an awful lot for having me.
Thanks, Coach. Fun. Appreciate it. There he goes, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie on Hail Varsity Radio. We go down to see Coach McBride. We'll bring him some Zipline. Mm-hmm. Brewing Company. If you haven't been to Zipline, the time is now. It's the holiday season. They have so many options for you, 40 different beers, nationally recognized IPA, gold medal winning, Copper Alt, and record sales over the last 4 years. Make it 5 with your friends from Zipline. Started in Lincoln, but poured for all over Nebraska. If you're making your way here to Lincoln, maybe you're coming in for the Creighton game, maybe you're coming in for some holiday shopping to see relatives, friends, two tap rooms for you. The Westo location with Zipline and the Modern Beer Hall, Southeast Lincoln, 56th and Pine Lake, 24 taps there, community tables, neighborhood bar, and you'll meet someone you don't know, but you'll have a great time together at Zipline. Go see Marcus and the great folks from Zipline. And if you're outside of Lincoln, try Zipline today. Available on draft and in 6-packs across the state. Your local grocery store or bottle shop will have Zipline for you. And again, find your way to the tap room, the Beer Hall, 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln, if you're coming into town for this holiday season, or the Westo location. Monday through Saturday, noon to 10, the Beer Hall. Sunday, noon to 6, for Zipline, your friends at Zipline Brewing Company. That's Jay Moore. I'm Chris Schmidt. So much fun with Coach Charlie McBride, and a man whose son recruited by Coach Dante Williams. Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy, next.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks to Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie Hale, Varsity Radio. We welcome in one of the top quarterback tutors in the country. Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy, armedanddangerousfootball.com. Steve Calhoun worked with Patrick O'Brien for a number of years. Cam Newton, you name it, you've probably seen one of his kids in the NFL. Steve Calhoun with us. Steve, great to speak with you again. Happy holidays. How are you?
Hey, I appreciate it, Chris. Hey, how was your Thanksgiving? And, let me wish you an early Christmas.
Man, I put them on 8 pounds, but, you know, that's how my Thanksgiving was. But, you know, that's not a shock to many. How about you? I mean, you've been watching your Jedis, as you call them, do work on and get guys ready for the bowl season, haven't you?
Absolutely. It's been a really exciting football season, you know, from youth football to NFL. You know, my Jedis have been doing great, and so it always puts a nice smile on my face.
Well, you do a great job, and your perspective on Nebraska's new assistant coach hire is something we're going to spend a few minutes on, and this is so unique. You're a proud father, you're proud of your boy, and you're also a coach, and that recruiting process as a parent, I can imagine, is entertaining. It's stressful. I mean, it's a whole bunch of different things rolled into one. And it wasn't that long ago, Dante Williams was in your living room talking to you about your son. Tell me about what Nebraska has now in the secondary as a coach, as a recruiter from the West Coast. Can you kind of put into words what Nebraska's getting on their coaching staff?
Yeah, well, Nebraska's getting an unbelievable person, first of all, that really cares about the kids and their futures and, you know, making sure they graduate and just that father figure away from home. You know, when I had a chance to meet Coach Williams when he was coaching up at University of Washington and he was recruiting my son, and also when he had, you know, got his first job at San Jose State, because he was GA'ing at UW, you know, I really had a chance to, you know, talk to him quite a bit on the phone and spend time with him. And that's just the one thing that was really noticeable, that he says, hey, you know, if you give me the opportunity to, get your kid on our staff, on our team, you know, we would, you know, I'm going to have the same morals and values that you carry in your house, you know, here in my room, in my DB room, and also, you know, here on our team. And that really stood out to me. So, I mean, that's the one thing that really popped out, and just, you know, quality human being.
Tell me a little bit about how he's able to connect with kids, because, I mean, a number of the prospects that he's in on for Arizona, they'll listen about Nebraska, because Nebraska's got some really great connections out west. You know that. I mean, between Coach Langsdorf and Riley and Coach Keith Williams. And so, I mean, they're covered with the niche and their base in California. But it just seems like Dante Williams is a guy that is, I mean, it's not that hard to listen to him about leaving California, because he's done it. He's been a bunch of different spots. And I think there's just a great rapport. What did he do to connect with your son? What do you think he's done to connect with other kids? It's one thing to connect with the parents, got to get the decision maker, absolutely. But also the kids got to love him too.
Yeah, you know, he's able to connect because he speaks the same language as the kids, you know, in this generation. So he's, he speaks the same language. He understands, you know, what they're going through, the process they're going through as far as being recruited and what, you know, what school to choose and stuff like that. And he doesn't say, hey, you need to come here or put any type of pressure. He just kind of lays out everything, you know, that they have to offer. You know, first of all, from a DB standpoint, you know, he's one of the top technical defensive back coaches that I've ever met. So, I mean, I pride myself on being a technical quarterback coach. And so when we're talking, even though it's different positions, that's how he, you know, he's able to break it down. So, I mean, that's when he starts talking DBs, and the fact that he's able to actually do it, you know, not only explain it, but he can physically do it. Because I believe this generation now, they're not necessarily, they learn by auditory, but more by seeing. Mm-hmm. So you can actually show it. And I mean, that's when the kids really are able to connect, because he can really explain what he's talking about. But he's definitely a really, really good communicator. And that's how he's going to be able to get a lot of kids in the door at Nebraska.
Some of the videos I've seen of him, Steve Calhoun with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy, quarterback camps. And Steve has spent time and knows new Nebraska assistant coach Dante Williams pretty well. Steve's son recruited by Dante Williams. Just watching some of his videos, he was so good. Not only eye contact with the kids he's coaching, but just the technique of, all right, yes, open your hips and your leg, yeah, or step a step this way or that way 6 inches and then play the ball. How is working with him or just kind of bouncing off ideas helped you as a quarterback coach and vice versa? How you as a quarterback coach, have you helped kind of him? Because I'm sure you guys have spitballed ideas together when it comes to development.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's, for me, trying to get as much information to my quarterbacks as possible about the defense, I'm able to get a little bit of some inside information, from Coach Williams about, what type of technique he's, teaching on the defensive side of the ball, how he's playing the receivers. So that helps me as a quarterback coach and helps my quarterbacks understanding where we need to put the ball away from, those defenders and how they're breaking on it. So, just his insight and his detail, and then the one thing, as you said, you saw some video, the passion he has for playing defensive back and playing for him, that's another thing that just jumps off the page, his passion for teaching, young men about, the defensive back position.
Can you explain what it's like or what it means for West Coast kids to have one of their own in Nebraska, because he's done the JUCOs there. He's been on the West Coast. He's been at San Jose State. He was at Arizona in the Pac-12, which means he's playing all the California schools, 50% of them back in California. And right now the kids in Nebraska are going after 4- and 5-star studs. They're 6 blocks, half a mile from USC.
Correct.
How hard is that mountain still in front of that that way to get kids east for Nebraska right now?
Well, I think the mountain is very climbable.
Okay.
for somebody as the caliber of a Dante Williams, because he's from California, like you said before, and he's just he's able to really connect and everybody out here on the West Coast can see the direction that University of Nebraska football is going, and that's what attracted, Patrick O'Brien, and they want to be a part of that. They want to be part of a great program with a long tradition, tradition of winning games and winning championships and just be around great coaches and great people. That's what the parent, me speaking of from the parent side of it, that's what I wanted, my son, and I'm sure everybody that Coach Williams is recruiting, is be around, great people and have a great atmosphere to teach young men, not only about football, but about life.
Steve Calhoun, a couple minutes with us, Hale Varsity Radio, and new Nebraska assistant coach Dante Williams, one time recruited Steve Calhoun's son. So it's interesting perspective in that living room. So what did you guys, we got about 2 minutes here. Do you remember the living room sit down when he visited?
Well, it was actually up at University of Washington after a camp.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he had, I had brought my son up there to University of Washington, so we got a chance to spend quite a bit of time. We're in his environment, but what struck me, the first thing was his passion about teaching, and that's my same thing. Be passionate about it. I mean, because you can't fake passion. You really, really can't. You can hear it come through the voice and how technical he was and, what he talked about, what he can bring, as far as the skills and the teaching, to my son to allow him to grow as a player and reach his full potential. That's the one thing that really grabbed my attention.
Steve, got to leave you on this one. Patrick O'Brien is here in Lincoln, and Patrick's going to have a chance to battle for the quarterback spot once Tommy Armstrong graduates and is done. One more bowl game with Nebraska. How do you think things are going for Patrick? I know he made a lot of the road trips this year, but they decided to redshirt him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was good for him. Just, you know, for the fact that he traveled, be able to be in the different stadiums, see the atmosphere, see how it is on game day away from the friendly confines of, you know, Husker Stadium. And, no, I think he's grown so much as a player, just being able to go through, you know, taking the mental reps, you know, being there on the sideline, you know, being there, you know, listening to the calls from Coach Langsdorf and just see how things are. He's going to take all that information, be able to process it. And, you know, when he gets home here over the break, you know, we'll be able to work on those things and get him ready for spring football, which I'm definitely looking forward to.
Well, Nebraska fans excited about Patrick and what's going on with Nebraska as they move forward. Steve, you have a great holiday, man. We'll catch up again. Thanks for sharing your personal story inside with Nebraska's new coach, Dante Williams. Take care of yourself, my friend. Thanks for a few minutes.
Okay, appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy. Steve Calhoun, outstanding quarterback tutor, and his Jedis, as he calls them,
like it.
Off doing work in the NFL and also in college. And, yeah, there's his personal experience and just the connection and firsthand knowledge and insight on Dante Williams, Nebraska's new secondary coach. Dante will have a lot of room in the bank account when he moves to Lincoln. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's doubling his salary, and he's leaving a 3-9 football team.
Win-win.
Yeah.
I mean,
win-win. That's the thing, too.
I mean Nebraska had, what, 450 to play with Bruce Reed. He's making 400 this year, 425, I believe, next year.
Yep.
And if they get that, obviously, they get that added 10th guy, which will be, if that's the case, they'll get another offensive guy to even it out. I mean, it's just the assistant coaching salaries are continue to go up. Dave Aranda
at 1.9.
Yeah,
right?
he just had a Brinks truck pull up to his house.
Oh, why not?
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay me a lot of money to live in. Well, I'll just leave it there. I was going to go somewhere. Hey,
Baton Rouge.
Ed, we're neighbors. This is sweet. What are you saying? Can you translate for me, Ed? I have no clue. College football playoff will try and translate the committee's decision. Do you think Penn State got hosed? I don't care if they did. Do you think?
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Busy one today. Just heard from Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy. His son recruited by new Nebraska assistant Dante Williams back when he was at Washington and San Jose State. So some firsthand info and impression by Steve Calhoun on the newest member of Nebraska's secondary. Coach McBride with us to start off hour one. Michael Brunt joined us. So just getting a little thought into the Nebraska-Tennessee matchup. Jay and I touched on that. The validation point needs to be made. That's kind of how you validate your year. Yeah, it's been improvement, but getting a 10th win and then beating a good SEC team kind of validates that, yeah, you did beat somebody of substance, and you finished out the year strong, and you can get that momentum train back on the tracks heading into recruiting. That's kind of what the Music City Bowl is all about. If you're Tennessee, you're a tire fire right now, and you need something good to happen. And it's in your backyard. You lose that, and then Butch might be getting a U-Haul. And for sure, he's looking at Pop and some of his assistants,
sure.
It sounds like. Okay, college football playoff. You had Penn State do the unthinkable, get down 28-7, have a microcosm of their season, come back, beat Bucky Badger, and get a win. I got to ask you this with a straight face. Ohio State's in. Some people are screaming about it. I am not, because it's probably the best chance you have in the college football playoff of taking down the other three opponents. Ohio State's going to be the best shot to win. Penn State's the hottest team right now, along with USC. And then there's Michigan. And then there's Wisconsin. You have four of the top eight. Your New Year's Day six is loaded with Big Ten talent. You've got other really good matchups, Nebraska-Tennessee, Florida and Iowa, the Pirate. Mike Leach will be on with us tomorrow. Pirate's going to just unload on Goldie. But still, it works out okay. It works out well. Big Ten's got to step up their game to go along with a good regular season. You got to finish the postseason strong. Your non-conference wasn't bad at all, okay? And now the Penn State argument, I ask you this. If Ohio State and Penn State were to play again, do you feel 100% that, yeah, it was just a bad night for Ohio State? I think Ohio State's that hot. They remind me of the 0-1 Colorado team that had three losses. But, man, when they got hot, they got scorching hot. They were a good football team, too. But, man, they...
You think Ohio State's that hot or Penn State's that hot?
I think Penn State's okay. That hot. Ohio State's kind of been up and down. My question here is would Ohio State beat Penn State in a rematch? I mean, the way Penn State's playing right now, they're putting up points. Defense has been all over. They shut the run game down. You've got inconsistency with Barrett right now. McSorley, that little puke, has been nuts. I mean, he's been on fire. The skill outside wideouts for Penn State.
Really
you
good.
You have Barkley at I-back.
He's really good.
They're explosive. They are no fun to defend, and their D-lines just mean enough. Mm-hmm. What is it a shoe-in that Ohio State really, truly belongs? Or are you rethinking the fact that what I said a week ago is flukish, right? That was a fluke win with two blocked kicks. Well, the way Ohio State's played versus how Penn State's kind of finished their year, I think it'd be a hell of a game to see them rematch. Which leads me to this. Congrats, Washington. You beat Colorado. And I know I was stomping my feet about head-to-head for Michigan over Penn State. All that being said, man, I'm going to step back and say I'm a little disappointed that Penn State and Ohio State aren't in. I'm disappointed because the Big Ten's the best conference in the land. Their champion should be in. Ohio State's better than Washington. Ohio State is a 3.5-point favorite versus Clemson. Bama is Bama. My gripe is that you only have one Big Ten team in this year. And I've even shifted off of Michigan because of how hot and dynamic Penn State is. Maybe I'm caught up in the fluff here, but Penn State's wowing me right now. And I think they should be in. Not over Ohio State, with Ohio State. I'm open to punting more so Washington. I think Clemson's pretty unstoppable. They also self-harm. So they're not a shoe-in to win or beat Bama either. But right now, give me two from the Big Ten because they've been that good this year.
I mean, agree. It's so weird just because of Penn State winning the Big Ten. I mean, that has to have some sort of – I mean, obviously
– some meaning.
It has some substance.
And their loss to Pitt.
I think Michigan –
Pitt beat Clemson, so there's some common opponent there.
I still think Michigan's a better team than Penn State.
I was going to say, Schmidt, do you think Penn State would beat Michigan after seeing how they played each other this season?
I think it'd be super close. But I think it'd be super close against Ohio State. I can't, after what I saw them doing in the second half, I can't rule them out. Because they were – you don't go down 28-7 to Bucky and that defense and then come back and score the last 31 points.
Yeah.
No one does that to them. Penn State – Michigan didn't do that to them. Ohio State didn't do that to them. Mm-hmm. LSU didn't do that to them. I know their offense isn't good. But you know what I'm saying? No one's done that. They had no answer. Wisconsin's secondary is great. Their linebackers are tremendous. The run game doesn't get stymied. How about Wisconsin on 4th-and-1? Mm. They don't lose the line of scrimmage on 4th-and-1 ever. They got blown up. And this is going to, you know, high-five recruiting dudes out there. But this also goes to what are you recruiting? What are you bringing in? You've got the development angle in recruiting where Wisconsin's going to go get fat people and put them on the line and develop them.
Right.
I mean, that's a compliment, kind of backhanded. And Penn State's going to be like, we're just going to go get 4 and 5 stars. Because their recruiting classes have been top 10.
Franklin's kicked it in gear recruiting.
Yeah,
he's had
top 10, top 12 recruiting classes the last 2 years. Well, you saw that prevail. When push came to shove, it was the athletes of Penn State and their skill guys mixed in with some good line play, obviously, but specifically their D-line was high value, high talent, and it beat the hell out of the Wisconsin offensive line. Wisconsin was not athletic enough to assert their physical will. They couldn't do anything in the second half running the football. So that proves the theory of, well, go get 4 and 5 stars. Just go get the studs. You know, recruiting rankings equal wins and talent and championships. Bama obviously says that too, but that came to fruition in Indy on Saturday night. Better athletes, better players found a way to win, and there was no answer. Mm-hmm. There was no answer for Wisconsin and their system, their blueprint versus the recruiting rankings.
Well, Wisconsin is in that situation, up 28-7 with that defense.
But they couldn't run it. They couldn't milk it.
I know. But just looking at
that,
I think,
blew me away.
That's crazy. It is. I don't.
It's not like they choked.
No.
Penn State took control.
Penn State was a second-half team. They always struggled in the first half. They struggled against Purdue. They struggled against you name it.
Minnesota.
Yeah, you name it. They struggled in the first half, and they just kick it in gear. Some teams just – hell, Nebraska was that way, too, for most of the year in the fourth quarter. I mean, they were god-awful, too.
You put two in, though, from the Big Ten.
You can't. You can't. You can't do it. I'm sorry. Like, you – wins got to mean something.
And if you have two losses, you have two losses.
Sorry, I mean, Washington, you want a bag on their non-conference while they won the games.
I'll say this about Washington, too.
Penn State lost to Pitt in their non-con.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
So did Penn State.
Right. That's right. I mean, yeah, Penn State lost to Pitt in their non-con. But you can't allow two teams in or a two-loss team when you have all these only one-loss conference championships. You know, okay. It's just too hard.
All right, we'll wind down. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN. Or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
One final time on a Monday. Loaded show today. Michael Bruntz, Charlie McBride, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy. Coach, tutor, Steve Calhoun, and his friendship and relationship with new Nebraska assistant Dante Williams. Missed that? We apologize. We can log on hailvarsity.com or iTunes for the podcast. Got to check out the new hailvarsity.com. What do you want to do here, TJ, as it is Santa time, where we're doing giveaways?
Yeah, let's do 6 for the Hail Mary, okay. 7 for the... the online subscription.
Okay. What he's referring to is the Holiday Hail Mary. If you're caller 6 right now, you qualify for the Holiday Hail Mary with Hail Varsity and ESPN. Caller 6 qualifies for a Schrock Innovations Windows 10 tablet valued at $499, a Jet Splash car wash gift card, $100 in value, plus a remote starter installed from Auto Sounds here in Lincoln, valued at $449. Caller 6 right now. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. That is caller 6. Caller 7 gets a 6-month subscription to HailVarsity.com. That is pretty awesome. It is also free. Free is good when you subscribe for 6 months. HailVarsity.com, premium online subscription, yours. Caller 7 right now. The ultimate online fan experience. Great coverage. Football, baseball, basketball, volleyball, plus recruiting from an amazing staff. Of course, the message boards can jump online. Test that out with some friends in your best Husker community. HailVarsity.com, free 6-month premium online subscription now. Caller 7, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Get the latest on the Dante Williams hiring. That's now official. Bird, who do you like in Monday night?
It's Colts and Jets, right?
Yes.
Colts got in late because their plane was like some issues, mechanical issues. I don't know. I don't even care.
You don't care.
Care
about the game, right?
This is an awful matchup. Don't care.
Thursday night's going to rock.
Oh, it's Chargers. Yeah, AFC West. That's going to be really good. I just wish it wasn't on those guys who are on short rest. Like, why can't this be on a
Or do it
Sunday?
Earlier in the year.
Right, but it is what it is. Give me the Jets is at home, and just because of the Colts, you know, get in late and it's all screwed up, but it's a pillow fight.
Would you fine somebody for not wearing a collared shirt or a tie? Like Cam got fined and missed the start.
That's what it came down to, was him not wearing...
It was dress code violation. He didn't have a... Didn't have a tie on. He didn't have a tie on because he didn't have a collared shirt on.
See, I hate that. Like, I hate it in football.
You know what it screams to me? Somebody was late to the plane.
Possibly. easily. But I hate the coach that, oh, it's a business trip. You got to wear shirts and ties and stuff like
that.
It's
not new to it.
Right, I know, but
you
want to
talk about fashion and looking fly?
I guess it's a good way to get free suits. I was never on a team. We had to wear suits, actually, for college with Bill, yeah. With Billy C. Hated it. What's wrong? Why can't we wear warm-ups just like everyone else, you know? When you're in college, who has...
I always kind of liked wearing the Who Farted tank top. That's what I did. It's just me. All right.
And with that. And we're out of here.
See ya. Let's go have another. Mm-hmm. Busy one tomorrow. The Pirate Mike Leach will be with us. Hail Varsity back at you at 4:00.